Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Turn to the book of Philippians while you're sitting down. Philippians in chapter 3. I'm going to preach this morning how to stay sane in an insane world. And I'm going to kind of build on it a little bit. Before I get there, I'll give you some very practical things. Here are four general rules of life. You might even want to write these down. I've shared one or two of these at different points in my ministry, and I'm going to share these real quick to start this message. Now, this is tongue-in-cheek, as you well know. Never stay in a motel where the word vacancy is painted on the wall. It's words to live by. Never argue with your sister when she's holding a baseball bat. I learned that. Never eat sushi from a gas station. I think that goes without being said. Never trust a preacher with a perm. And that being said, speaking at the risk of sounding like Smiling Joe Osteen here this morning, I want you to know this. God has a great life planned for you, and then heaven after this life, and Jesus is all you need to get both. Amen. You need to understand that. So God didn't just save you to let you sit and sour here in this world, in this tough world in which we live. On the other hand, if you're here and you're not born again, you need to come to Christ this morning. Philippians and chapter 3, but let's read two verses out of chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Philippians chapter 1 and verses 20 and 21. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Man, that's refreshing. To read the words of the Apostle Paul, penned under inspiration, saying this life is just all temporary. And I owe Jesus more than I could ever pay him because he has given to me eternal life. And the life that I'm living right now for me to live is Christ. And then to die, that's gain. It's only going to get better. I love life because I love Jesus. Philippians in chapter 3. Philippians and chapter 3. We live in a crazy world. I know you know that to be true. It's chaotic. It's upside down. It's sometimes it seems like we're being led by lunatics. It's like it's crazy town whenever you watch the news. And the Bible tells us God is not the author of confusion in 1 Corinthians in chapter 14. So I know that this confusion and this craziness isn't coming from heaven, isn't coming from God. As a matter of fact, a lot of the cults and isms and fractions, they're man-made religions is what they are. And empowered by the devil himself, and the devil is doing all he can to mix everybody up in this world. It's a bad day that we live in as far as mankind is concerned. It's going to get tougher. Do you know that you can buy, I looked in every store I knew to look in the Sioux, there are no jelly beans. Nowhere. Anywhere you look. Where's that?
TJ Maxx.
Are you serious? Well, I didn't look at TJ Maxx. You start naming the other ones. I looked there, and I'm going to go there. I need those jelly beans in the jar on my desk so the little kids will love me. And ever since Easter, I've looked everywhere. I'll start listening, but no jelly beans. It's like we're in a lot worse shape than we thought. By the way, somebody did buy me some jelly beans off Amazon. They just happened to bring them in. Didn't even know what I was going to preach. I was even going to mention that this morning. Thank you, Karen. Any of you people want to get jelly beans for me off of Amazon or go to TJ Maxx, I'm good. All right, you pick that up, all right? Philippians in let's go to chapter 4. We'll just cut right to the quick. Go right to chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my beloved brethren. The way of peace, it says in Romans in chapter 3 in verse 17, they have not known. There's no way this world will have peace apart from God. Now, there's several things that have to take place in your life and in my life. Number one, I preached this last Sunday morning. It wasn't my outline, but it kind of fell together as an outline. Number one, make sure you're born again. Make sure you're born again. Number two, make sure you're baptized. That isn't being born again. That is not salvation, but it's identification. It's identifying with Jesus Christ. You want to be blessed of God after you become his child, after you're born into the family of God. Follow him in the waters of baptism. That is the first command the new believer is supposed to follow. And then number three, become Bible-centric. The Bible will chart our course for life. How to stay sane in an insane world. I know some of you are thinking it's too late. Man, it's too late. I've already reached insanity. Understand this morning. There is a rock. His name is Christ Jesus. You need to anchor yourself to that rock. I think it's 18 times in the Psalms, Jesus is referred to as the rock of our life. We can trust him. Anchor yourself. Make sure, number one, that you are born again. What a week. Four people saved at a wedding on Wednesday. What a week. I mean, it was just a very natural thing where I went from the wedding vows right into the gospel and presented the gospel, and four people received Christ as their Savior. Yesterday, I was able to lead a man to the Lord that was here pouring cement, and he got born into the family of God. And was just being bold and said, hey, I need to talk to you for just a minute. And of course, Randy knew what I was going to talk to him about. And they kind of let me take him off to the side, and I explained the gospel to him. And he gloriously received Jesus as his Savior. Sometimes getting people saved, I think sometimes it's too easy. It's like falling off a log. And here's the truth. It cycles a little bit. There'll be times when you lead a lot of people to Christ, and there'll be times where it's a little bit drier, but then it gets harvest time again. And here's the deal. If we would all be just soul conscious, understand there are people around you that if you would just talk to them, if you would just bring Jesus Christ into the conversation so that they'll understand they too can be born again, they'll get saved. There are people that are hurting. There are people that are hungering. There are people that this world, it is crazy town. Man, there are no answers in this world. They have no peace. They know no peace. That's what Romans and chapter 3 and verse 17. They have not known the way of peace. Man, where would you be without Jesus? Where would I be without Jesus? So how to stay sane? Let's say you're born again. If you're not, get saved this morning. At the end of the service, when I give the altar call, walk down the aisle with others that are coming, and I'll have someone lead you to Christ, and you can know you're on your way to heaven. These things have I written unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. You can know it. Number two, follow the Lord in baptism. Number three, you know, get Bible-centric. Make the Bible the authority in your life. You'll get local church that way. Man, you'll figure out what it's all about that way, and God will be able to bless you. But past that, okay, now I'm saved, I've been baptized, and I'm trying to follow the word of God. There is a battle for your brain. There is a battle for your thinking, for your thought process. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians in chapter 10 that the devil and the forces of this world are battling for our thought life, for our mindset, how we think. You see, you can get born again and you get baptized and you can, and don't equate the two as the same, they're not. You get baptized and then you can say the Bible is the authority in your life, but if you have the wrong mindset, if you have the wrong attitude, this isn't Phil Schuller stuff. This is right out of the Bible. This is the book of Philippians, and Paul is addressing how to live life. And this is the mindset we've got to have. Number one, verse one, stay focused. It says in verse one of chapter four, we're going to cover about six, seven verses here, and that's it. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Persist, stand firm. Having done all, stand. It says in chapter 3 and verse 13, look back just a chapter. Chapter 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. This one thing I do. Stay focused. He didn't say these 50 things I dabble in. This one thing I do. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are going to be added unto me. I'm going to be settled. I'm going to be grounded. I'm going to be focused. I understand there is a purpose to life, and I'm not alone in this purpose. We have a mission as the family of God, as the church of Jesus Christ. It is called the Great Commission. This mission is to reach this world for Christ. Number one, very simply, stand fast. Be settled. Plant your feet on firm ground. Quit following preachers on the internet. Quit following personality cults and people that dress a certain way or look a certain way, or maybe they're counterculture, and it's not all bad being counterculture. I'm pretty counterculture myself, but man, you got to be grounded in the Word of God. Stay focused. Otherwise, you'll end up all by yourself. You know, being the Lone Ranger in Haventano, that worked real good when you were a little boy in the playground when nobody else, you couldn't get along with anybody else. But pretty soon you grew up and you realized that, hey, Tonto wasn't even real. And, you know, and I'm really not the Lone Ranger. You know, you need Captain Nathan Brittles from the 7th Cavalry. You need John Wayne. You know why the cavalry always rode to the rescue? Because they were an army. They weren't alone. There was rank and order. Man, they snapped too. They charged on the bugle. They were together. And that's the way we are as a family of God, as a church. Not only are we to stay focused, we are to stay together. Look at verse 2, chapter 4, Philippians. I beseech Yodius and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. We do not know a lot about these two women, but we do know that they were at odds one with another. And they were to make it right. Verse 3 says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. So they were in the gospel harness, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Sounds like there's a lot of people involved. It sounds like it's a team effort, and we need to stay together. How good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. The 133rd Psalm. It's easy to think, it's easy to become self-righteous and selfish and think it's just me and mine. And I kind of waxed eloquent a little bit on this morning in Sunday school. You need to know the importance of the New Testament local church. Without the New Testament local church, we read this morning in Ephesians in chapter 3, that is the channel, that is the vehicle that God has ordained to reach this world. You say, well, I'm a church meeting in my house. I'm a church, you know, no. The Bible says where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. But the Bible does not say that's a church. That's a prayer meeting is what that is. I'll tell you what a church is. You know your Bible. You know this to be true. Two officers. Two ordinances. Sending out missionaries. Iron sharpeneth iron. Sending out rescue squads and reaching the world for Christ. And a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So unless you have pastors and deacons and you're baptizing and you're celebrating the Lord's table and you're sending out missionaries and you're holding forth the light, you see, God has ordained to use an imperfect people, that's us, sinners saved by grace, not yet perfect, not yet in heaven, but he's ordained the New Testament church to reach this world for Christ. You see, Fundamental Baptist Church, we're just one of them, but Fundamental Baptist Church, we're the vehicle. We're the tool that God is going to use. And if we just keep splintering, if we run off in all directions, and we don't have a lot of problem that way, but man, I know some churches that they're splitting all of the time. Something is not right when that is going on. Jesus is not Lord when that is going on. Unless you divide over doctrine, that's the only place to divide. And then be wise enough to not swallow, strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. That brings me to my next point. Let's go to verse 3 real quickly. Verse 3. Spoke of a yoke fellow. Says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. Interesting man. He's unnamed in Scripture, but he's a co-worker. He's in the background. He said that it said that he labored. That means he strived together, like an athlete does on a team. A team that has many members. And everybody, they work together on a play, and they work together as a team, and they become one mind and one. And that's the way the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be. I accept the fact that you're not perfect. You accept the fact that I am not perfect. We give ourselves a little bit of elbow room, but the Bible is our authority, and we hold to the Scriptures. And I recognize that you may not come to the right and proper conclusion yet, but if we're studying the same Bible, we're going to come to the right and proper conclusion. And God is going to bless. And that is the wonder. That's a wonderful thing about the Church of Jesus Christ. So stay focused. Don't lose your purpose. Not here in this world. Talk about your mind. Stay focused. By the way, you say, how important is that? Well, he says, we won't get to it this morning, in verses 8 and 9, we're to think on things from above. If you listen to the wrong kind of music, that's where your heart is.
That's right.
I promise you, that's it. That's just the way it is. I'm a human being. I know what it is. Man, if I'm listening to the wrong kind of music, I'm in a shopping place and they're playing the wrong kind of music, I start listening to it, my mind goes there. My mind goes places. And all of a sudden, there's a battle for my thought process. And you know it's true, so don't even argue with me about it. So it is important what we listen to. And it is important where we go. And it is important what I feed this mind. Because where a man's treasure is, there is his heart also. And so if I'm making all this phony treasure in my life, man, that's my focus. Stay focused, stay together, and stay faithful. Look at verse 3. I already read it. I won't look at it again. I was going to look at chapter 2, but let's move on. Number 4, verse 4, stay positive. 9 times in this letter to the church at Philippi, Paul says, rejoice. He is going to face the executioner soon. And he says, rejoice. It says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 8:10. The Lord is our joy. Remember what we already read? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So rejoice. Just simply put, stay focused, stay together, stay faithful, stay positive. Don't be the Eeyore of New Testament Christianity. Don't be that one that just kind of brings a dark cloud wherever you go. Oh, let me tell you my problems. Maybe play a few organ recitals, my liver and my kidneys, you know, and my heart. And I got all of these problems, and just the Eeyore, just the wet blanket kind of Christian. Does anybody enjoy being around those kind of people? No, not a one of us. If that's my mindset, that's the opposite of a life of faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. If my mindset is, I got problems, man, everything's caving in. Oh, look how dark everything is getting. It's getting darker all the time. Isn't there anybody serving God? You know, that is just the wrong mindset. And I'm telling you, the powers of darkness have captured your thought process. And you need to get beyond that. Settled, grounded, focused, together, faithful, positive. Look at chapter 2 and verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. No whining. None. Chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. You know, he says it 9 times. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Be that happy, positive, have that happy. I'm not talking Pollyanna. Everybody has struggles. And everybody's going to have difficulties. And sooner or later, everybody has tragedies. But the difference is, I got God. I've got Jesus. That's the right mindset. You might be carrying a burden right now. You need to lift your eyes from the mud and lift your eyes to the heavens, because we're seated in heavenly places, the scripture says, and our eyes are supposed to be on Jesus, and our conversation is caught up into heaven already. So as children of God, we ought to be different than the world. You know what the world's doing? They're looking at the dark side of everything. They have, you know why? They have no hope.
That's right.
They don't have that rock. They don't have that focus. They fret. They don't know how things are going to turn out. We're different. We're children of the light. So I'd encourage you, stay positive. Focused, together, faithful, positive. How about verse 5? Moderation. Balance. It says in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. I'm to live in such a way that everybody sees my moderation. The Lord is at hand. I know that Jesus is coming soon, so I'm going to stay balanced. That word moderation means temperate attitude. It means balanced. It means everything is okay. It's under control. Some people get caught up and I'm preaching this morning. I alluded to it last Sunday morning. I just want to preach it. I want to share it one time and get that burr out from underneath my saddle, and we're going to move on. And I know we're going to deal with it again and again and again, because you know we've got everybody with podcasts, and everybody's got a ministry, even though they couldn't lead a church and they're not called of God. But you can look like something on the internet that you're not really, and you can have two lives and all of that, all kinds of personality cults. And there are no new truths in this world today. It might be new to me, because I was not born again and I don't know the Bible, but there's no continued revelation. There are no new truths. Nobody's going to pop up and say, and what's really big right now, and I actually have seen it in several different directions, where people think I'll have my church in my house, and another group is saying, well, it's the law, that's the answer. They're doing exactly what Paul said not to do and what the writer of Hebrews said not to do. Don't return to the weak and beggarly things. Jesus fulfilled the law, all of it. As a child of God, he's our rest. Man, he's what makes us different. This is the new covenant. This is a New Testament church. What a great God that we serve. So stay balanced. You might find something that is a minor doctrine in the Word of God. Boy, I am not diminishing the Bible. I hope I'm mature enough to understand what I'm saying. You may find something that is a minor doctrine and you make it your whole life and your neighbor's going to hell. You are wrong. You are straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. You ever hear that phrase? You've heard it from me several times. Straining at a gnat. Oh, I got this truth. I got to get everything. And it's the only thing you talk about all the time. And your neighbor, meanwhile, he has died and gone to hell. And there's somebody else next door to you. And they're dying without Jesus as well. The truth is, keep the main thing, as a child of God. Stay balanced. It is so important. We as children of God don't get caught up in a religion of convenience or a personality cult. And it's really easy just to watch podcasts and never be faithful to the church who Christ is the head of. And man, it's big. Stay balanced. And that's just one area. We got to strive for it all the time, don't we? I want to be evangelistic everywhere I go. But at the same time, I got to teach the whole counsel of the Word of God. And I do the best that I can. And I don't do a good enough job sometimes. There's the struggle, but I stay balanced. I let my moderation be known unto all men. One more thing, verse 6, and then I'm going to wrap it up with a great big bowl. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So my moderation is to be known to all men, and my requests and my needs are to be made known unto God. That is called prayer. Stay on your knees. Quit worrying about everything that is going on and become a prayer warrior that has a prayer closet. Keep short accounts with God. Pray to God always in that attitude of praying, and then have some specific time where you bring your needs to God. That is called Bible praying. I'll just hit it real quick. Pastor Josh, some time ago, preached on George Mueller, did a great job. He preached on the power of prayer. It was actually maybe a couple of years ago now. I reread the book. Here's a man that had 50,000 recorded answers to prayer. 30,000 of the 50,000, the prayer came the same day, answer came the same day that he prayed it. He was asked how he got answers to his prayers, and he called it Bible praying. Here's what his prayer closet was like. He'd open his Bible and study. He'd come to a promise of God. He'd put his finger on that promise, and he'd pray for whatever the need is. And God answered those prayers and answered them directly. Amen. You know how to stay sane in an insane world? Have a prayer time with God. And you got to tell God your problems. You got to tell God your issues. Now, he knows it already. He's omniscient. But he says, make them known unto God. Make them known unto God. So here I am as a child of God in a crazy, mixed up, crazy, upside down, crazy town world. And that's where we're living right now. Number one, I'm going to stay focused, firm, settled. Man, I know the Bible is my authority. I'm following God. Stay together, unified. Stay faithful to God. Stay positive. That's the right mindset. That's rejoicing, thanking God, even for difficulties. Stay balanced, a temperate attitude. I'm not flying off the handle. I'm not the guy that runs off and I smell something, I run in that direction because my belly's empty. I'm doing my best to stay balanced and stay on your knees. Don't be worrying about things that are of no account. Look at verse 7. We'll close with it. Here it is. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. It goes over the top. The peace of God that is so big, if you're in Sunday school this morning, the grace of God, the glory of God, so big and so beyond my little pea brain, so beyond what I'm able to think up, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or protect or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Doesn't that sound good?
Amen.
The peace of God that passeth all understanding. Well, I could stay positive then. Well, I could stay focused then. Oh, we could stay together then. I could be balanced then. Well, those are the things you need to do to have the peace of God. And you will have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I've been there. Maybe you've been there. You've seen people there. They lose a loved one. It's a tragic, unexpected death. They're at the funeral home. They're born again people. And it's like they're at a family reunion. It's like there's no weeping and wailing. Even though that's her child, there's tears, but there's a faith and a trust in God and a peace that passeth all understanding. And the unsaved, they scratch their head and say, man, that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. What do they have that I don't have? The peace of God. And that's what we need. That's how to stay sane in an insane world. And Christ, turn over one page. And Christ is our power source. He's how we're going to reach the world. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And then verse 19, and he's going to meet our every need. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What a God we have. How to stay sane? The peace of God that passeth all understanding. Don't give that peace up. Don't neglect that peace for some trinket here in this world. A long time ago, I read the story of a little boy is visiting a museum with his parents, and there was an Egyptian vase. It was priceless, worth all kinds of money, sitting on a shelf. Nobody's supposed to touch anything, but you know how little boys are. He reached down in that vase, and he got his hand stuck in the vase, and they couldn't get it out. His parents were frantic. Priceless vase. They called the museum curator. They called the fire department. They brought in all kinds of people. They used oil and everything else, and they couldn't get that little boy's hand out of the vase. Finally, they came to the conclusion there was nothing they could do. They had to break this priceless vase. So they broke it, only to find that little boy had his hand in the shape of a fist. And that's why he couldn't get his hand out. And the reason he wouldn't open his hand is he had a penny that he had dropped in that vase. And that priceless vase was destroyed for a penny. The peace of God's greater than any priceless vase. It's over the top. Your cup will run over and your saucer will as well. You know, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow on the world stage, nor do I. We've got ideas. We know what the Bible says about the last days, but I don't know how the pieces are all going to fall together. I was talking with one guy, I think it was Mike this morning. He brought up the digital currency that's coming out. Hey, that's how the Antichrist is going to run everything. Everything, groceries, churches, getting their money. Oh, it's not a registered church. Can you see things falling together? But we don't know exactly how it's going to fall together. But I don't need to know. I just need to know who my Jesus is. Amen. And that he's coming for us. And I can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. The world will never understand it. I can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding right now in the life that we live. You got that peace? Do you have that joy? And are you focused? Are you together? Are you faithful? Are you positive and balanced? Are you someone that goes to God and you pray for the things that are needed? That's how you're going to stay sane. That's how the battle can be raging all around you, but it's okay. We have Jesus. He has a great plan for your life and heaven afterwards, and you get both by surrendering to Christ.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.